Karen and I went down and watched the fireworks. Saw them start to finish. They were, it's quite a, for Little Philomath, it's quite the show. I don't know if it compares to Northern Colorado, but it was fun. And I realized that kind of after the fact, I was realizing I didn't miss a single one. I just, our eyes were just completely focused. And of course it was, quite the screen. But I on occasion would glance around to see the folks around us, and literally everyone, as you would expect, I mean, that's the show, right? But every eye completely focused, gazing at the sky. And it reminded me of the verse in Isaiah that I mentioned a few weeks ago. And I want to begin with that verse this morning. Out of Isaiah 41:10, it says, "Never turn your gaze from me. Never turn your gaze from me, for I am your faithful God. I will infuse you with my strength. I will help you in every situation. I will hold you firmly with my victorious right hand." I'll read that again in a moment. We might even get it up on the screen, or on the wall. Or it's, oh, I see, it's not on the back, sorry. That's okay, no worries. The title of my message this morning comes from a devotional I just came across recently. It said this: gaze at God, glance at life.
Amen.
I needed to hear that. It was I won't read the whole devotional, but it was by Carlos Whitaker, who had written a book called "Kill the Spider." I'll just leave it at that. I read some of it, but he one of the lines he says, instead of gazing at God, we often gaze at circumstances or our battles or our struggles or the questions that we have, and focus, in essence, on the wrong things instead of focusing on God. He said, the one line he says, the gaze of our eyes determines the focus of our worship. Lord, as we look to your word this morning, help us with our focus. Lord, help us, remind us that our eyes need to be lifted up, Lord, and focusing more on you and not on the things that are of this world, Lord, that so easily distract and will all fade away. So, Lord, as we look to your word, I just pray that you would enable us to see the life, the power, the strength that's in your word. Let your word come alive in our hearts this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, church, I would say again, hear the word of the Lord. Do not yield to your fear, for I am always near. Never turn your gaze from me. In fact, let's do what we did a couple of weeks ago. I'll read the white, you read the yellow. Do not yield to your fear, says the Lord, for I am always near.
Never turn your gaze from me.
For I am your
faithful
God. I will infuse you with my strength. I will help you in every situation. I probably should have put that in yellow.
Yeah.
Say that with me. I will help you in every situation. I will hold you firmly with my victorious right hand. And I would just say, if one thing could be conveyed, that we would not underestimate God's ability. His ability to work in and through our lives. I got to share a disappointment. I really thought this would be the year. That this would be the year that I would get to participate in the Tour de France. You know, it's only, what, a little over 2,000-mile bicycle race in all over France, basically, through the Alps, through the Pyrenees. I think they're just starting that today. I'm really in pretty good shape for the shape I'm in. I rode, I think, maybe 75 miles on my bike last week. What do you think my chances would be?
Yeah. You might finish the race, but you'd probably finish last.
I would not even qualify. LOL. You can underestimate my abilities to win a bike race or even to love. You can definitely, I may have overestimated, but you can underestimate those things, but do not underestimate God's ability to help you in every situation. Vital. His ability to infuse you with strength when you face your Goliath. When you face, we sang about the giants of life, whether it's fear, failure, hopelessness, or temptation, or even loss, whatever, there's the giants not only seem enormous, I mean, they are enormous if they're giants, right? But they seem, unlimited. They just seem like there's so many. The writers, the fact that God promises us help in every situation, what a God. He is our faithful, more than capable God. The writer of Hebrews says it this way, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. I guess you missed the yellow there, didn't you? It's yellow on the back. So let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us.
Fixing our eyes on Jesus.
Say that again.
Fixing our eyes on Jesus.
Who is the pioneer or author and finisher of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners.
So that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
And that would be a pretty good indicator when you start feeling weariness and a loss of heart, when you start feeling like you are growing weary and losing heart, that would be a good nudge or indicator that, Amen. Where is my gaze? Where is my focus? Have I misdirected? The Passion Translation says this. In fact, how often is this our focus? So it says, jumping in, so we must let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin that we so easily fall into. How often is that a focus? Every wound that has pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into, then we will be able, by letting go, we'll be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination, for the path has already been marked out before us. We look away from the natural realm and
we focus our attention and expectation on Jesus.
Read that again. We
focus our attention and expectation on Jesus,
who birthed faith within us. That's what he's doing. When our focus, we're allowing that him to not only begin that faith, but develop that faith within us. He who birthed that within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. Is there another? There's another. The rest of it isn't there. But I lost my place. His example is this. Because
his heart was focused on the joy
of knowing that you would be his, he endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation, and now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. So
consider carefully
how Jesus faced such intense opposition from sinners who oppose their own souls,
so that you won't become worn out and caved in under life's pressures.
I love the way the Passion Translation conveys that. That is so often the case, that we just feel like we're just being worn down and caving in under life's pressures. I agree with, you know, speaking of our class Friday night with Beth Moore, reminded of the verse out of Revelation 12:12 that says that the enemy knows that his time is short, and so it's like he is intensifying his efforts. And then the verse out of Daniel 7, I think it's the 25th verse that talks about, you know, the ploy of the enemy is to just to wear down the saints. Just there's that constant wearying and wearing down, and a lot of times, you know, it's without our awareness or our knowledge. It just realize, well, I'm just, it's not just a physical fatigue. We all, you know, get weary. Sometimes it's way before the end of the day, but we just there's a weariness that comes in our hearts and in our souls, and when she was mentioning that the other night, I was thinking, I wonder if the enemy is more aware of the last days than the church is. And you know, who knows? The point is that may we be a people that are aware of, not that we're looking to blame everything on the devil and his attacks, but just realizing that there's so much going on. I get weary just by listening to the news. And it's not just that I'm listening to the news, it's the reality of what's being conveyed. The hate, the turmoil, the violence, those things they just weary. It's like, God, what is going on? Is there really any hope? Lord, your word says that your spirit, you're pouring out your spirit on your people. Lord, let that be more evident. Let there be a demonstration of your power. Let that be. And it's like the Lord reminds me, so what is your focus? What are you, it's not that we deny the reality of what's going on, but if that is my entire focus, it will only serve to bring even more despair and heaviness. And so, Lord, give us a reminder that we ought not to underestimate your ability, and that we ought to fix our eyes and let our focus, our gaze be upon him, especially in the midst. It's like when we see those things, again, not to pretend like they don't exist, but turn God in, calling upon you to intervene in this situation, in this circumstance. Amen. So I just continue. I realize too often I'm guilty of only of gazing at the circumstances and the issues of life and only glancing at God. I don't want to be glancing at God. That's my conversation with him this past week is, God, forgive me for only glancing at you. You're going to love this example. My prayer was, Lord, may we be a people who will say that no matter what goes on all around, I will fix my eyes like Stephen. You like his example? Full, the scripture says, full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God. He says, I see heavens opened up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At the right hand of God. So, okay, Stephen might not be the most encouraging example, as we know that Stephen was being stoned at the very time his gaze is on the Father, but it certainly is more than inspirational and an example to us that must be our focus. I looked up one of the definitions of gaze, you know, to look steadily and intently, to stare, to look at with concentration, a long and fixed look. Kind of like when I gaze into my wife's eyes. She tells me to stop it. So the text that I want us to focus on this morning is out of Isaiah, is also out of Isaiah 40, and I read a few of these verses a couple of weeks ago, but I want to read the last six verses of Isaiah 40, and it says, you start out for me. Lift up your eyes to the sky and see for yourself. Who do you think created the cosmos? He lit every shining star and formed every glowing galaxy, stationed them all where they belong. He has numbered and counted and given everyone a name. How many stars are there? Yeah, who knows? Evidently only God knows, yes? Given everyone a name, they shine because of God's incredible power and awesome might. Not one fails to appear. Why then, church, would you ever complain? And my chosen people, why would you say Yahweh isn't paying attention to my situation? He has lost all interest in what happens to me. Don't you know? Haven't you been listening? Yahweh is the one and only everlasting God. Better say that again.
Yahweh is the one and only everlasting God.
I got too caught up in the reading the word here. The creator of all. The creator of all you can see and imagine. He never gets weary or worn out. He never gets weary or worn out. His intelligence is unlimited, and he is never puzzled over what to do. He empowers the feeble and infuses the powerless with increasing strength. Even young people faint and get exhausted. I added, how much more so the aged? Even athletic ones may stumble and fall. But
those who wait for Yahweh's grace.
But
those who wait for Yahweh's grace.
They will experience divine strength. That is new strength. They will rise up on soaring wings and fly like eagles. They will run their race without growing weary. They will walk through life without giving up. And I just, I look at that those who wait for Yahweh's grace, and there's something that's so very challenging, because if God was like a button you could push, or a phone number that you could call and get an instant answer and get an instant response, we probably would be more inclined to be quicker to do that. We'd be looking for God as more of a genie, though, than as a God, because we would be dictating to God, at least not so much the how, but the when. And yet this discipline of learning to wait for Yahweh's grace is what births within us a divine strength, a strength that we don't recognize that is happening at the time, but it is birth. I was watching a video. I'd always heard about how when a mama or a dad eagle is teaching their little ones to fly, that they will, when they realize the time is right, they'll kind of nudge them and kick them out of the nest. And then I'd heard that if they just kind of fluttered down, that the eagle would swoop down and catch them, or allow them to land on them, and then take them back up and try it again. I thought, wouldn't it be cool if we could find a video of that? If you ever find one, let me know. I looked a little bit, but what I did find is the eagle, the little baby eagle, or the ones that are learning, kind of watching and looking at mom and dad as they fly. And then I would see them, there's a couple of videos where one would just kind of jump up and in the nest and kind of flap its wings and then it jumped up on the kind of the tree a little bit higher and kind of fluttered down, and I just thought, you know, what a great picture. And more than anything, it's that we have, to use a biblical illustration, we have wings, I believe, we don't know about.
Amen.
Can you imagine being a bird, an eagle of all birds, and never using your wings?
Yeah.
Never, you know, having the ability to soar. I mean, would that be cool or what? To be able to fly, you know? But that's exactly what we've been given. God has given us the ability to do, to soar in ways that we know not of in many cases. And God is constantly kind of giving us the nudge, not shoving us out of the nest, but he's kind of just nudging us. And what happens is he uses the issues of life, the challenge, even the grief, even the loss of life, even failures, the things that we experience, to nudge us to depend upon him, to enable us to soar, to walk with new strength. If you've ever run or done, you know, cycling or something where you're exerting some pretty good strength, you realize that the most difficult mile when you're running a race is really the first mile. But then you've heard the term second wind. How many of you experienced a second wind? Yeah, it's like, whoa, you know, I'm breathing a little bit more normal. I'm not panting, I'm breathing deeper. And there becomes, you know, the ability to run a little bit farther than it seemed like. It's like, so many people give up running. Like, that's, you know,
I like that term, the wall.
Well, and then that's that'll happen even when you're in shape. The marathon runners discover that even like at mile 21 or 22, I'm getting a little far afield. But the point is, in our life, in our walk, that sometimes it just feels like I'm dying. I'm panting. I need a second wind. And I believe that the scripture is saying, when it says wait on the Lord, it's not just saying, you know, stop and twiddle your thumbs. You don't see Jesus waiting on the, you know, he's able to endure the cross because he is able to see through the cross, see through the pain, and see the joy that was set before him. Amen. He saw the impact of what was happening to him in the life that would bring us, in the hope that we would have. And I want to conclude this morning with a verse that we often forget, because it's when we're facing stuff that just seems so hard and just like, am I going to make it through this? And it's like that's our only focus. We're not able to see beyond, you know, what, not only just what it's, you know, getting a solution or getting provision, getting our need met, but let me read a scripture out of 2 Corinthians 3. This will be the last verse. It says, we can all draw close to him, can draw close to God with the veil removed from our faces. And it's been talking about, you know, Moses, when he saw God, he had to put a veil on because his face was so bright, it was blinding. And but we, with no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect. Are you reading that? Who, we all?
Become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus.
I guess my point is trying to realize that even as we are looking to God, that we are unaware of the fact that as we look to him, we become like mirrors reflecting his glory. Amen. And the impact that we may not even be aware of, bringing hope, bringing life, bringing light, you know, to someone else's light. We are being transfigured into his very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. And this glorious transfiguration
comes from the Lord,
who is the Spirit. And the verse preceding, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Amen. And then that would be my hope this morning, is that God remind us, even in the midst of, even when things are going well. Things go well a lot of the time, yes? A lot of the time. And even in those times, may we be a people, or Lord, thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. And I don't want to be just guilty of looking to you when I'm desperate, when I'm going through it. And things seem like they can't get any worse. Lord, I want to be someone that is looking to you even in the good times. Amen. Lord, thank you for your word this morning, for encouraging us, for reminding us that you are the all-capable God. Lord, there's nothing too difficult for you. And that you use the things that challenge us to remind us to look to you and to draw our gaze, our focus. Lord, may we be a people who are not just glancing at you, but gazing into you, looking to you, depending upon you to strengthen us. Lord, we want to be people like Joseph and like David and like Daniel. We want to be a people who are learning to wait and will wait for your provision, your timing, and confident that our hope is genuinely in you. We trust in you. We believe you are the God who loves us so much that you demonstrated your love by sending Jesus. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your gift. Thank you for your love. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand together. And I just want to speak this blessing on each of you. Simply this. It comes out of the Aaronic blessing that we've used before, but I just want to say, you know, may God make his face to shine upon you and give you peace, and may he bless you with reminders to wait for Yahweh's grace. In Jesus' name, amen.